This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. After many months of knowing that the Knicks were going to go to the postseason and many weeks knowing that they were going to be the three seed most likely, we officially have the matchup. The Knicks and the Pistons, round one, Saturday. 6 o'clock will be game one. And, of course, none of these series are going to be easy. But, you know, this Pistons team reminds me of the first Knicks team that made it to the playoffs with Julius Randle and Tom Thibodeau, where it had been a while since they made the playoffs. You know, very, very tough, outworking guys, you know, just having that exuberance because they hadn't been there, a fan base that had seen a lot of good basketball being reinvigorated. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. And that team obviously ran into a more talented team with Trae Young at the time that went to the conference finals. So I expect a similar situation here. I do like the Knicks in six. I don't believe that it's going to be scary. I don't think it's going to get to that point where we have a game seven. But the Pistons are going to win some games. They're going to push around the Knicks. It's going to be physical. They've got absolutely nothing to lose. And they've got, you know, a budding superstar in Cade Cunningham. But, you know, I'm really, really curious to see what team we get when this series starts. Do we get a different defensive team? Do we get a better three-point defending team? Or are we just going to get the same team we've been watching in the regular season?
Well, so the Pistons beat the Knicks 3 games to one in the 4 games that they played this regular season. And the Pistons are a team that, if I had to guess, I would think, obviously, they probably don't believe that they're the underdog, but they're going to be told that they're the underdog.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the chip on their shoulder that they're going to bring to the series. There's no question about it. So for us, as Knicks fans, this is what we've been waiting for. This is now the moment in time where, you know, you've played an entire season together. You're pretty much healthy all across the board. And this is the team that they put together thinking that they could challenge the Celtics, let alone who knew that the Cavaliers were going to turn into what they turned into this year. So, I don't think this is going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination with this first round. I think it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a knockdown, drawn-out battle. I don't know. I think it will go seven. I don't think it's
really
gonna, I do. Really do. I just have a feeling it will. Unless somebody gets hurt, you know, on either team that is of significance, but this is where you find out whether Knicks have been just toying with us all year long, or are they the team that we think that can win a championship. I personally appreciated their hustle this year, appreciated the fact that Mikal Bridges ended up playing all 82 games, which I think is a real testament to him, and he's done it for 7 years in a row. I think that's great, and I think that's the kind of attitude that you want, but this is not going to be easy. And again, they're the Knicks, so they come in with all this hype around them. And don't think for a moment that a team like Detroit isn't thinking like, hey, we just beat these guys 3 out of 4 times.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's a scary first-round opponent with a team that you feel has got nothing to lose. I mean, they're not supposed to win this series, but they're so tough. That, you know, they are the team that Knicks fans wanted this team to be more like from a toughness standpoint. But I still think that the talent is going to be
talent disparity is going to be too much for the Pistons to handle. But, I mean, right now, if I had to look forward and try to handicap this thing, I think the Knicks win this series in 5 or 6 and then end up losing to the Celtics in 5 or 6. I mean, that's where I kind of am with them right now, unfortunately. But that can change. I mean, if they go out and just wax the Pistons and then everything we ever wanted this team to be comes out because they're finally at the playoffs, then I'll feel a little bit differently about them. But, you know, I heard this cut from Tibbs as I was driving in. Anthony Gallo was playing. He's filling in for C-Mac for a couple days this week. And like it was the most alarmed I'd heard Tibbs the entire year. And he's basically going, you know, he goes, you know, we got to get this stuff fixed. And he goes, well, and the guy goes, well, what do you have to get fixed? And he goes, everything. We got to fix it quick. And I'm like, what? Well, where did that come from?
Well, maybe he's putting like a little bit of pressure on his players. And, you know, he knows internally what they do well and what they don't do well. And what they don't do well is they don't defend three-pointers well. And if they're playing against these teams that are going to be shooting well, then they're going to have problems. And I think that's one of the things that he's probably talking about, amongst other things that he sees that maybe the, you know, we as the fans don't see it as quite as much. And I think it's a little bit of hustle. I think it's switching on defense. I think his number one problem is the way they play defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably frustrating as hell for him because that's been his MO his entire career as a coach. And we talked a little bit about this, while you were out, but it's just the reality of the situation. I don't think Tibbs deserves to be fired by any stretch, and I'm not in any way at this point calling for his job. I mean, if they end up losing the first round series, it's going to be a conversation about it. But it's not so much that, you know, if they lost this series or got waxed in the second round by the Celtics, I wouldn't say it's because Tibbs is a bad coach. But sometimes in the NBA, like the style that he coaches doesn't fit the roster he has.
Well, let me just explain something to you. The Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Just fired Mike Malone and the GM.
That's right.
With 3 games left to go in a regular season, and they're the 4th seed, I believe, out in the West.
Yeah, I mean,
they
won a championship a couple years ago.
And he was a championship coach. And, you know, you hear Jamal Murray talking about Mike Malone saying that he always had my back. He always picked me up. And it seemed like Jamal Murray really liked the coach. But for some reason, the coach and the GM didn't seem to be getting along out there. Maybe it was the GM wanted certain players playing and Malone didn't want to play those players. And then in the midst of it all, it seemed like everybody had to pick one side or the other with inside the organization. And then Kroenke sees that and says, you know, we're just going to get rid of both of you. And we're going to try to clean this up. We're going to try to make everybody happy. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they do in the playoffs, given what just happened to them.
Yeah. I mean, you had 2 teams with winning records going to the playoffs fire their coach at the end of the regular season, which is unheard of. I mean, three things that happened this year is unheard of. The Luka trade, which is something that we'd never really seen with a superstar that came out of nowhere like that, and then 2 coaches fired with teams that are going to the playoffs.
It's crazy.
So
you told me that they lost to the Detroit Pistons, somebody's losing their job. Just like, you know, as much as Peter Laviolette, you know, led this team to the President's Trophy last year and everything else, for whatever reason, and it started week 1, and it could have been a series of events that took place last year that bled into this season for the Rangers to end up, you know, flat on their face and not make it back to the playoffs after being the President's Trophy winner, one of, I think, 4 or 5 teams in the history of the league to obviously have that distinction bestowed upon them, which is what you would not want. But and the coach kept saying, well, we got to fix this. Well, what the F are you doing? You're the coach.
Yeah.
And then if your message is not translating to the players, the ownership will see it. You know, Leon Rose will see this. I mean, I'm an advocate for Tom Thibodeau. I like him. And I've always liked him since the first day he got here. And I really thought he got more out of this team than you could have asked any other coach, especially after the coaches we had prior to him.
Yeah, I mean, and this was it. They went all in. This was the roster they thought could win a championship. They waited and waited and waited with the picks. Then they struck with Mikal Bridges. And then they ended up going and getting Karl Anthony Towns. And now that they're locked in and there's contracts and OG and Towns and Brunson and everything else, you know, it's going to be very difficult to shake up the roster and make it better from a talent standpoint because of that. So what do you do in that situation? You make a coaching change. But I got to see how it plays out. But there's no doubt that he is not Teflon at all.
No, he's not. And I would say if they could have kept Hartenstein, Hartenstein.
Hartenstein, yeah.
Hartenstein and got rid of Mitchell Robinson. It would have been better, but
they couldn't. Yeah, it was just the wacky, stupid NBA rules where there's some players you're allowed to pay more than the rest of the league does with the bird rights. And in this particular case, the Knicks could only pay him up to a certain point and another organization could pay him more, which I don't understand at all. And if the Knicks were allowed to pay him as much as they wanted to, he'd probably still be here. But yeah, I mean, that's, and you have to trade something to get something with Towns and DiVincenzo. You know, he ends up going. But yeah, Hartenstein was a.
If they could have hit Hartenstein and DiVincenzo somehow and acquired Towns, that would have been something. That would have been the team. I think that would have been the team that we all would have sat here and said, they got a real chance because there's going to be some grit that's associated with that team. Now, I think Josh Hart has all the grit in the world. And I think that Mitchell Robinson, when healthy, can be a force on defense and on the boards. But I don't know. Those two players in particular, losing them from last year's team created a different dynamic with this team.
Yeah, I mean, and I need to see Karl-Anthony Towns dominate this first-round series. I mean, he just needs to. I need to see 40-point games from him. I need to see him just, you know, because they're going to try to push him around, and he needs to not let that happen. I will feel so much better about their chances against the Celtics if I see a massive series from Karl-Anthony Towns.
This is one of the reasons why they went out and got P.J. Tucker.
Toughness, yeah, of course. Yeah.
They just wanted a guy in there that is not afraid to say his piece, and I don't know if he's been here long enough to be able to really stand up in front of the team and scream at him or whatever they do in the NBA. But
whatever they do.
I mean, the point being is that they're not supposed to be leaderless. They have a leader. His name's Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be the leader.
He is, yeah.
And hopefully he will be that leader. In other words, demanding from everybody else 100% on both ends of the court, which means he has to play defense because he is a liability on defense.
Listen, I can't wait. It's felt like a lot of, you know, the amount of wins that they had, it's, you know, the most they've had in 12 years. And the feeling that we have going into the playoffs is
weird, right?
Yeah, it's not all that confident, which is wild. But 20 games over 500, 51 wins, a three seed, you know, one of the teams that's better than you won the championship last year. So, I mean, they're right there, but how far away are you? It is going to be a lot of fun, though, at least this first-round series. And I hope they win in five, and I hope that they flex their muscles, and I hope that they look better than they've had the entire year on defense. All right, 888-808-1019 if you want to join the show. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Scott is in Connecticut. Good morning, Scott.
What do you say, fellas? Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday, Scott. What's up?
Hey, you know, I was wondering if either of you two had been down to Augusta to take in that Masters. I was down there Wednesday. A friend of mine got pulled for the ticket lottery. He happened to get Wednesday. Gio, I know you're a relatively new golfer. I'm telling you, that's got to be on your bucket list. I was not prepared for what I saw down there. I've been, you know, I'm about 60. I've been playing the public links forever. When I ever walked through those gates, I was just floored. And I was wondering if you've been down there. I assume Boomer's has been there. I don't know about you, Gio.
Yeah, I have not at all. Boomer has played a couple times. Thanks, Scott. I'm glad you had a great time down there. I know you've played it a couple times. I don't think you've been to the Masters.
I have not been to the Masters. I'd much rather watch it on TV.
Yeah. I hear you. I also think that maybe going down once now has to be back on the bucket list just to check it out. And maybe it's next year. Who knows?
Well,
maybe
for me or you?
No, for us.
For you.
No, for us.
Why is it us?
Well, why? You don't want to go?
I told you, I'd just rather watch it on TV.
So you don't want to go?
I'll go and play, but I'd rather not.
All right, well, maybe it's next year for me then. I want to go once. I want to go once to the Masters. I want to go once to the Kentucky Derby. Those are bucket list things now.
Okay.
I've been to a Stanley Cup final. I've been to an NBA Finals game. I've been to a couple Super Bowls. I've been to World Series games.
Yep.
I've been to that. You know, I want to go to the Kentucky Derby. I want to go to the Masters.
Man, you want a lot of stuff, man.
No, that's not a lot of stuff. I mean, those are bucket list things. What are you talking about? I'm not saying I'm going to make it happen myself. I'm not, you know, begging for someone to send me there.
Well, it sounds like you want me to go with you.
I was offering because I thought that would be a cool thing. That's all. I'm not going to plan a Masters trip and then not ask you if you wanted to go?
I have been to a couple of U.S. Opens.
Yeah.
I've been to the Travelers.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't care to. I'd much rather watch it at home so I could follow the scoring. I could follow exactly what was happening yesterday. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I like to do.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, you know, he went down and did a practice round and watched the rest on TV. Maybe that's the way to go.
You know, when you go to a sporting event, you go to a baseball game, football game, basketball game, hockey game, you see the whole game. You see everything unfold in front of you. When you go to a golf tournament live, you follow your guys or you sit at a hole and you watch a couple people, you know, hit to a par three and maybe drive the next hole.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're not seeing the whole thing.
No, I know, but I mean to
be. That's the only reason why I, like I said, I went to the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, and I loved it because I love the golf course, but it's just like you don't get to feel, like you don't get to see it all.
I understand, but I mean, this would be, you know, one time to go down there and be on the hallowed grounds. Plus, I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to play it, so I want to be there. You know, I want to be there at least once and experience the course once
okay.
in my lifetime. I think it's, you know. Reasonable.
I think it's reasonable. Why don't you go down and get a media credential?
I don't know. I could do that, but then I don't want to use that and just for pleasure. You know, I want to go down there and enjoy
myself.
You're
going to hang out with Cannizzaro
and Ann Liguori.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can go with them.
No, but I want to go down there. I want to have a good time.
They will really show you the ropes.
Yeah, I know, but I want to have a good time. I don't want to have the credential and not be able to grab a drink or something. You know what I'm saying? I just want to go down there and enjoy myself.
Get a credential, grab a drink, you're fine.
You can't do that. You can't wear a credential and start drinking everywhere.
All right, well, then don't say. I wonder, like, the writers who cover the tournament. I don't know this for a fact, and we should probably ask Cannizzaro this once. Does he sit in the writer's tent watching it on TV, or does he follow people around?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure that he probably, maybe early on in his career, would follow people around, and now it's like, hey, I've done this a million times, so I'll just sit here and write. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'd be like, but if I were his editor, I'm like, then I'm sending you down there to sit in a tent and watch TV.
Wait a second. Let's not take away Mark Cannizzaro's job of covering the Masters here. I'm sure he does it great. I'm sure he does it better than anybody.
He does a great job, yes.
Yeah, like, and I'm sure
he does it. I'm just saying. Like, so
he gets to talk to guys.
Go down there to the media tent and watch it on TV. I mean, like, you could do that at home.
Yeah, but, you know, he gets to ask the questions he wants of the guys and, you know, chat them up.
I think the access is the thing that I'm sure that's why he's there.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You get to talk to the, you know, in the media scrum. You get to ask some questions and things of that nature.
Yeah. I mean, Ann's been down there, what, 25 years, 30 years she's been doing that? Wild. What a life she's had, man. Tennis and golf all over the place. Mm-hmm. U.S. Opens.
Yeah.
Golf and tennis. I mean, she's got...
Have you been to a U.S. Open tennis?
No, I have not.
Do you have any desire to do that?
No.
Why not? You fit right in.
Zero. I fit right in.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No.
I don't think
so at all. This guy. So, were you here this day when this guy called up and he talked about what he had to do?
No, I was not here.
All right. So, Chris in Brooklyn. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Boomer and Gio. Happy Monday, fellas. How you both doing today?
All right, great, doing great. So, what's going on, Chris?
So, let me see if I could just sum this up, Chris, very quickly. So, Chris bought Masters tickets on StubHub for a large amount of money. But the way that Master tickets work are you get like all 4 days. So the way that they split it up on the secondary market was that he bought a ticket and he had to like meet somebody after day one to give him the ticket. So it's like he was trusting a lot of stuff to happen while spending a lot of money. So I told him to call back to see how it went. So, Chris, how did it go?
Yeah, so gee, hit the nail straight on the head. So we get to this house, which by the way looked like a frat house in, you know, college. So we get to this house, we show up there about 6:30, ticket pickup time is 7. Everything looks to be moving well. They have all these guys set up, they have coffee, they have all, you know, heating lamps and whatnot. We get to the front of the line. Some people are getting their tickets. We're told, all right, just stand over to the side. Your tickets are processing. Now, whatever that means, tickets are processing. So you know, we don't think much of it. And over to the side, and we start talking to the group. There's a few of us there, probably 25 to 35 people who are having their tickets, quote unquote, processed. And we start talking to a kid who happened to be the first in line. Now, mind you, it's about 7 a.m. at this point. He He got there around 5:20, 5:30, and he still didn't have the tickets in hand. So automatically, I'm like, uh-oh. So we go to the front. Anyway, to fast forward, we put a little pressure on them, and lo and behold, we got the passes. Worked with no issue whatsoever. Though I don't know if you've been following everything. When I called, it really didn't come to light, Boomer and Geo, yet. But the reason why the tickets jumped so much, and yesterday, I mean, I saw some tweets about it. There was one pair out there for going over 25,000, 30,000, was that this is just something I've heard through multiple stories being down there, that someone ratted on the people who were selling their badges to Augusta, and all of these secondary sources then had their badges stripped, including people who bought through StubHub. So as a result of that, the tickets then jumped in price because the allotment out there is low to begin with, but it removed hundreds of badges. And I heard that story through a few different people being down there, because to your point, and what I was saying is that, yeah, they're all tied into either lottery, which is difficult, or these legacy badges. And if you do that, it says really clearly on the badge, you can't resell, and you can lose your right to the badge. And that's supposedly what happened and led to this
disaster.
Skyrocketing.
Well, thank God. God the badge you got wasn't one of those, and you enjoyed it, and you were there with your mom, right?
Yeah. Gee, and I don't believe you. I agree. I've been to golf before, you know, been to some majors, you know, some Tiger 1 US Open many years back at Bethpage. It's very different. So I couldn't tell you guys to go enough. I mean, the fact that there's no cell phones really leads to it's an amazing experience being down there anyway. But having those cell phones, everyone's there, you know, you don't have people making phone calls or whatnot. And the whole vibe is just different. I mean, great weather. You know, the golf was great as well. You get these chairs. I'm sure you've heard this story, but you get these chairs and you can leave them anywhere and you could sit in anyone's chair. But then when you go back, your chair, you tap the person on your shoulder, someone's in there, and then they'll get up.
Oh, the politeness, Chris. There. The politeness of Augusta. Thanks, man, for calling. Oh, yeah, I appreciate it.
Great.
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad it worked out for you, man, because that was a scary situation for that guy. Spending thousands and thousands of dollars just hoping that someone dropped the ticket off for him the next day at some frat house.
See, I guess I don't know where I stand on this whole secondary ticket market thing. I mean, it's everybody's screaming and yelling about, you know, the ticket prices in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're a team who sells season tickets, you know, like you're the Islanders, for instance. You sell your season tickets, and all of a sudden Ovi comes to town, and he's going to break the record, and then the tickets go through the roof.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of me says it's your building, it's your team, it's your league. You should be able to control the ticket prices. But then, you know, if you're a season ticket holder and your team has not played well, they don't live up to your expectations like the Islanders have done this year, then maybe you could make some money back on one game on your season ticket.
Yeah, no, actually, my plumber did exactly
that.
Yeah,
I know. I do have a hard time with some of that stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you buy the ticket, it's your ticket, right?
Supply and demand, right?
Well, yeah, of course. But it's also, I mean, you bought the season tickets.
But a lot of these teams now, I think a lot of these teams are also participating on the secondary market.
Yeah, and they also use the secondary market for their own dynamic pricing. Like, so they'll look to see what they're going for and then end up using an algorithm to put on their site so they end up benefiting from it as well. Yeah, it's wild out there, man.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Should be a spring-like week finally here in New York. Jerry is here with another update. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So Rory McIlroy beats Justin Rose in the 18th hole playoff yesterday to win the Masters. First time for him. Completes the career Grand Slam. And, you know, he blew it on 18, as we know, and then had to go walk back after going and signing his card. And they bring Justin Rose out to the 18th. And so there's time to fill because they weren't going to commercial. And Jim Nance being Jim Nance. And it's amazing. He was telling the story that Rory has told others about himself and his dad when he was just a youngster.
He took his son, this young, gifted talent, to the range. He had all he had left for the week was one token, enough money for one token. He put it in the ball box, Rory told his daddy that I wanted to hit more. He said, son, that's all I've got till next Tuesday.
Shut up!
So what his dad told him in that moment?
Just go hit every shot. It's only like 30 balls. Just go hit every shot like the Masters depends on it.
The response from a young McIlroy.
Disappointed, the little Rory said, okay, Dad, I'm going to do it.
Little Rory.
Shut up, nerd.
Little Rory.
You know, the adversity that Rory is facing right now reminds me of a buddy of mine, Jerry Recco, who was out on a golf course. My friend Boomer Esiason tells this story at least 5 times a year. He hit his face with a golf ball off of a tree on Father's Day and almost died. Went away in an ambulance, and his father and his sons finished the round. Came in with 2 black eyes the next day.
Ah! You know, I think we should get Jim to narrate that.
That would be fine.
That would be great.
I love Jim Nantz. Forget his voice doing my stupidity. That would
Your
be
story would be perfect.
I actually told my wife watched a lot of this with me this weekend. Yeah. The weather was so terrible. And every time you'd see someone in the pine straws, I told her, I'm like, I have been scarred for life playing golf. Like, I'd be like, can I drop that? Flip it over? I'm not doing it anymore. So that's Nantz. Last hour we heard the winning putt and everything. Here was Masters Radio Sirius XM. I believe this is Mike Tirico as Rory wins.
3 feet, McIlroy walks up to the ball, gets over it for history. With one look. Rory back and through.
And he's made it! He's done it! It's a grand slam roar at Augusta National.
Where was he that he had to whisper like that?
Is he in the tower up top over the green?
Yeah, that's
he's
where he is.
Be quiet.
He's in the 18th tower.
But I just love whoever's with him.
Trevor Immelman. Wasn't that Trevor Immelman?
No, he's on TV, right?
He might do the radio. I don't know. Immelman's on CBS for sure. Yeah, I don't know if he's in the radio.
The radio
that was Tirico on Sirius XM Masters Radio. So then, after he hugged and shook hands with 4,000 people, Rory finally made his way into Butler Cabin. And he was emotional when mentioning, you know, his parents, as you can certainly imagine.
I want to say hello to my mum and dad. They're back home in Northern Ireland.
They made a lot of sacrifices for you.
They did. And I can't wait to see them next week. I just can't wait to celebrate this with them. Yeah.
Very emotional.
You heard Jim, though, emotional when he does.
He was
realize
kind of, he got really
a lot of sacrifices.
I know what they could buy as many balls as they want.
They
could
buy the driving range now.
It probably owns the driving
Speaking
range.
Speaking of that, have you seen the video of Jason Day's backyard?
No.
During the break, Google this, one of these, you know, come into my homes thing. He's got like a golf course in his yard, and he's got different sand traps that are designed after the Masters. He's got one that is specifically the sand that they have at Augusta. One that is like at the British Open.
And this is Jason Day.
Jason Day. Checking. My son showed it to me yesterday. I was like, I couldn't turn it off.
Wow.
Pretty good. All right, so now Rory's outside. And just wow, as you can imagine, from that young boy with that one token to make those golf balls stick.
Honestly, it's a dream come true. Like, my dreams have been made today.
Yeah, really awesome. And then he got some love from the crowd at the end of that ovation. He gave it back and then got emotional again.
Love you, too. And last but certainly not least, over to my left, my family, my team.
Here he goes
again.
That's
how I look at you guys.
Yeah, right. Get choked up when you talk about us.
My team.
There's
Al Dukes.
And then lastly,
I love him so much.
A very nice message to his daughter, and then he blatantly lies to her at the end.
The one thing I would say to my daughter Poppy that's sitting over there, never give up on your dreams. Never, ever give up on your dreams. Keep coming back, keep working hard, and if you put your mind to it, you can do anything.
False.
I love you.
What is that? Why are you trying
that's
to rain on his parade?
That's not true. I'm sorry.
What do you mean that's not
you
true?
Absolutely should work hard and never give up. I'm sorry. You
can, those are words of inspiration, Jerry. That's what that
but putting your mind to it and you can accomplish anything is bullcrap central.
Yeah, I had to have that talk it with is. My 3-year-old Summer when she said she wanted to be a unicorn when she grew up. And I said, listen, not possible.
That's not possible.
So you, no matter how much you put your mind to it, you're not going to be a unicorn.
Do you know how many kids out there right now dream one day of winning the Masters? A handful will. The other millions won't. So,
okay.
That's
great.
True.
Way to just rain
you
on
know how many people
parade.
Wanted to be Boomer Esiason?
Yeah, not many.
Me?
Yeah.
5'8". Pudgy, I had no chance.
But look at you now. I mean, you're the voice of Rutgers basketball.
And you know what? I might
you're
be
a part of this show. People know
yes.
you.
And I would say that at one point in my life, my goal in life was to do this. So I have accomplished that.
Yeah, of course. You gotta
but when I was a kid, my goal was to be an NFL quarterback.
Well, that wasn't going to happen.
Exactly my point.
I mean, so. But only because of physically.
Well, yeah.
Not because you
but if I put my mind to it, I was not going to all of a sudden growth rate.
Yeah, I know you got to blame your parents.
Well, I'm not blaming anybody.
So you go to the opposite.
But
yeah,
it's not as simple as,
oh, you know what, Mr. and Mrs. Recco, they screwed me. I'm short.
Not as simple as putting your mind to it and you can accomplish anything.
Speaking of short, Rory's 5'9", for God's sake.
That's true.
Pulled that off.
That is exactly right. So how about that?
That's the lie that America tells you and the American dream. You know, if you want it, work hard enough and you can achieve it. You can't, actually.
You know what?
That's
yes,
a big fat lie.
I'm
what
sorry.
Do you want? You want to live? You want to? You what are you a communist?
No, I'm not saying not to mean, work hard and strive for
look
great
at your
things.
Kids. You raised two beautiful boys.
And I would tell them the same thing: work your ass off, and good things will happen.
You belong to a private golf course,
but just because.
I mean, what are you bitching about?
I'm not. I just that's a lie. That's a blatant lie to millions
not
of kids.
A lie.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is.
See, I mean, Jerry's been dreaming for years of doing a single Nets game. And he can't get there. And they give it to everybody else.
Well, and I will tell you, too, the whole manifestation crap.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. When it works for, like, one person, it's this great example of manifesting. How many people manifest wanting to sit in these chairs every day for a career?
Doesn't happen.
Not going to happen. Yeah. I've manifested Kevin Ray quitting for the last decade.
You know.
So, not happening.
So I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to the University of Maryland.
Yeah.
Do you know how many other scholarships I had to turn down to accept that scholarship?
I have no idea.
Zero. I was lucky that somebody believed in me.
Yeah.
Gave me an opportunity. I almost screwed it up twice.
But you did.
But ultimately got to where I got to.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of hard work.
Sure is.
Inspiration. But you got to keep the dream alive. You just got to keep it alive.
I agree. I didn't say not to dream. You got to dream big, and you got to work hard and not quit.
I think.
But you're not going to accomplish everything you think you can.
You have this perspective of everything turning into a nightmare.
That's not true. That's so not true.
We just got done telling me that what Rory said yesterday was, it's a lie.
Bullcrap central is what I said. Yeah. Not the never quit and work hard. I agree with all of that.
It's just the specific of if you work hard enough, you can do whatever you want.
It's not.
There's other factors there, but it doesn't mean don't work hard or not
absolutely
chase
not.
Your passion.
It's for just sure,
a, you know
you can try, but you're going to beat your head against the wall 9 times out of 10.
I mean, that's the shoot for the moon and land amongst the stars.
That
right?
is true, which is fine.
Yeah,
that's all.
Okay.
So,
Joe Montana, you and the San Francisco 49ers just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next?
You know who manifested it? Didn't go.
And worked really hard to accomplish it.
Yeah, I understand.
And
that.
Did not.
I was living the dream, though.
Yes, you were. And you still are. Quickly, the Giants.
Man, this is a nightmare.
The Giants beat the Yankees 5-4. Jung-Hoo Lee homered twice, including the big 3-run shot in the sixth. Along the way, though, even though it was in a loss, we do have a thriving player of the game brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion. His name is J.C. Ascara.
Here's the next pitch, swung on, hit to right field. That'll get down, and Dominguez can walk home. Ascara out of the box. He's got to dig to get the second. He's in with a slide, an RBI double, and it's 2-0 Yankees.
And at that time, it was going pretty good. And the reason why he is our thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. The reason, first career RBI for J.C. Ascara. So all good there, even in came in a loss. Carlos Rodon gave up the lead. Yankees, Royals tonight. Carlos Carrasco, Seth Lugo, the starters. You had the Mets beat the A's 8-0. Mets in Minnesota against the Twins tonight. I will have more on the Knicks next hour. I'll play that clip from you from Friday from Tom Thibodeau about needing to improve and all that. And then also preview their series with the Pistons, which will start on Saturday. And the Islanders shut out the Devils 1-0 Rangers in Florida tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, I knew this week we were going to hear a lot about the A's out in Sacramento because, you know, obviously the New York media was going to be out there and everything.
Yeah.
But I have to give Ryan Stanek a lot of credit because I was reading an article where he said, hey, man, it's baseball. We're good. Everything seems to be fine. You know, he goes, it's not like the old Wrigley Field before they renovated it,
yeah,
which was a dilapidated dump, much like Cleveland Municipal Stadium was when I played at the Bengals. We played up there in Cleveland.
Oh, the vet?
No.
I'm talking about other dumps back in the day.
Well, Riverfront was a dump.
Yeah.
I mean, they all were dumped. They were all cookie-cutter stadiums, but to Ryan Stanek's credit, he basically said, "Oh, it's fine. You know, we had to go when you leave the field, you have to go out the left field fence or the right field fence, I guess, because that's where all the locker rooms are."
Yeah, I mean,
it's a little goofy,
right? I mean, it looks like a spring training game, looks like a minor league game. Doesn't look terrible on TV. They did have that one moment where that cart ran out of gas. And they had to transfer the player onto another cart.
It was Siri, right?
And then, yeah, Siri. And then they ended up manually pushing the first cart out of there. I mean, that looked a little minor league. But yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, listen, it's not a good situation for baseball, but visually, it doesn't look horrible on television where it's an embarrassment for everybody.
So I have to tell you, going to the Knights game, which is T-Mobile Arena downtown on the Strip, it's right across from the Park MGM.
Mm-hmm.
The outside, you know, they got the band playing. It's like a total party outside the arena that starts like at 5 o'clock. The game started at 7:30. I mean, it was unbelievable. It's just an awesome feeling to have that kind of, like, I don't know, excitement going into a game. And then a lot of the Vegas people were telling us that, you know, the A's are coming. They are expected to start there in 28, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think that they think that they're getting an NBA team there as well.
I mean, do they
have... Supposedly, the NBA team's going to build its own arena.
I mean, do you think that they can support four major teams?
I think so. And the reason I say that is because, first of all, the Sphere has created a stream of money because the Sphere is connected to the Wynn and it's also connected to the Venetian, which is also the Palazzo and everything else in between.
Enrico Palazzo.
I mean, the amount of people that were there, and I had been reading articles about how Vegas was down this year. Maybe it is. And I do think that there were a lot of people that were out there this weekend in particular thinking that it was the Eagles' last show there. But then, of course, they announced that they're coming back in October and November. But it was really lively.
Yeah. I mean, it's Las Vegas.
It's like... The fact that they have these pro teams there now, they have the Sphere there, and to have that immersive feeling, like that thing may have saved Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I never knew that Vegas was in trouble, to be honest with you. I know there's some older casinos that were closing, but every time I've been out there, it seemed wild. I mean, it was never really an issue of people not going out there.
We were out there for the Super Bowl. When you had gone out there before, were you out there for any other event?
Yeah, it was always fights, a lot of fights.
All right, so, you know, yeah, the fights bring people in.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the Sphere is just going to be, it's been a moneymaker.
Sphere's one of those words you can get tripped up on. You know, I have some words that I get tripped up on, like when I talk about Mark Schlereth, I get tripped up
Schlereth.
There.
Schlereth? Yeah, it's a hard one.
Gina has an issue with burglary sometimes. She can't say that. Everybody's got these, is what I'm saying. So I set this up as I'm driving into our boy Anthony Gallo, Antifa Anthony. He has a problem saying the word depth, as I heard him earlier in the show mispronounce it. And I said, okay, it just was just a mistake. And then he doubled and tripled down at about 4:55 this morning.
They have depth. That's it.
Depth?
The Yankees don't have depth.
Depth.
They have depth, and then they don't have depth.
They have depth. That's it. The Yankees don't have depth.
Depth. I think he says depth twice. It sounds like depth the first time, but it's depth. He can't say depth.
They have deft. That's it.
No, he can't say
the
it.
The Yankees don't have deft.
Can't say it.
They don't have deft.
Yeah, I saw Antifa Anthony this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you talk to him about how he can't say deft?
I didn't hear that part of it, no.
quickly, Phil and Yonkers. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
God, right, what's up? What's happening?
Hey, Boomer, I was out there at the Venetian. I stayed at the Palazzo myself, saw the show Friday night. What an amazing, amazing time.
Yeah, I tell people, I've never been to a concert like that at all. I mean, like, it's so immersive. You know, every song, everybody's singing. It was like one giant party.
Joe Walsh looks like an old woman, though. He's really not aging well.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, they still got it, though, man. They still got it. Yeah. The sound in there is ridiculous. And I think, I'm sure their sound is amplified to a certain point. But I have to say that Jim Dolan's love of music comes through the building. Like, you can hear the music like you've never heard it before. You can feel it. And it's just a great immersive kind of experience for 2.5 hours, too. It was 2.5 hours.
A lot of people get high in that place?
I didn't.
Did you smell it?
I didn't.
You didn't? Okay.
No, I mean, like, for this particular concert, a lot of people my age were there.
Well, a lot of people your age smoke weed too, man.
I understand that, but it's not like we were at some like crazy
how about
concert,
that?
You know what I'm saying?